am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, you're listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher. And you know, folks, it's good news because the bad news was that we were once alienated from God. But through Messiah Yeshua, we have now been reconciled to Him. And that is why it's good news. And that is why we're not ashamed to proclaim it. We're not going to be embarrassed about it. We're going to declare it. We're not going to water it down. We're not going to nuance it in order to make it more palatable to people. We're just going to proclaim it. It's the good news. And I hope that's your conviction as well, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior of the world for Jew and Gentile alike. Well, we want to welcome you to Jesus Made Me Kosher. We come to you every day, weekday at this time, sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, and we're coming to you live today from the spacious and congenial studios of WLQV, and also live via Skype from the studios of Congregation Shema Yisrael. And Rabbi Lauren, as always, it's good to speak with you today.
Thank you, Rabbi Glenn, and I want to say shalom to the entire Faith Talk 1500 audience. Glad that they are listening today.
Amen. And we've been talking about the last day or so about the nonsense that was going on down in Atlanta, Georgia, with Bishop Eddie Long, and we put quotes around the word rabbi, Ralph Messer. But today we wanted to continue on the theme of what is right and proper, and unfortunately there's a lot of distortion of the gospel, and we want to talk about the true purpose of the gospel and how to recognize the real from the counterfeit.
We do, Rabbi Glenn, and I think talking about Pastor Eddie Long, the pastor of this mega church in Atlanta, and what happened with him and alleged messianic rabbi Ralph Messer is going to help us do that, because things go with things. And, you know, Rabbi Glenn, why don't we review what happened down in Atlanta that was so distasteful? You saw the video. Why don't you bring us up to speed again?
I did, and I was just glad I hadn't had dinner just before watching that, I'll tell you. It really was distasteful. What you have is a service at this church in Atlanta, New Birth Missionary Baptist. And in this service, Ralph Messer, who presents himself as a rabbi, he presents himself as a representative of Israel and of the Jewish people. He's none of those things. He's up there on the platform putting on a real show. He's got a Torah scroll, a Torah being the scroll of the first five books of the scriptures, Genesis through Deuteronomy, the law of Moses. He's got one of these Torah scrolls. Now, folks, you have to understand that the Torah scroll is considered a sacred thing, as well it ought to be in the Jewish community. And he's got these guys holding it, and he's having them open it up, and he's touching it with his hand, and he's talking about it. He's saying things about it that are really bizarre and not true, talking about symbolism, some of which was just truly, truly bizarre. And then he has Bishop Eddie Long come up, and they wrapped him, they basically unrolled the Torah scroll around Eddie Long and said, you know, now you're wrapped in the Word of God and nothing anybody can say can hurt you. This is Eddie Long, whose wife filed for divorce in December, who just recently settled out of court charges that he was involved in sexual misconduct with several young men in his church. Wraps him in a Torah scroll, and then they roll it back up. Then they put Eddie Long in a chair. They put a tallit, a Jewish prayer shawl on him. They lift him up on this chair and basically declare him to be a king. And it was very distasteful, Rabbi Lauren. It was distasteful to people of the Christian faith who have discernment. It was extremely distasteful to Jewish people, and sadly, many unbelieving Jewish people witnessed this, and it did not help them in their journey towards faith in Messiah. If anything, it was so offensive that, you know, if I didn't believe that the Holy Spirit is the one who genuinely saves people, I would have thought this will turn Jewish people off and they'll never get saved. It was that bad. Anyway, this happened just a week ago Sunday, and of course it's gone viral on YouTube.
And it's interesting that the thousands of members of his church obviously didn't find it distasteful. In fact, quite the opposite. They were cheering and applauding and egging them on.
Yes, they were. And people should be aware that Ralph Messer has essentially been using the African-American church. He's been basically an opportunist, making a lot of money off of people by telling them they're actually part of the Ten Lost Tribes and they really are Jews, and tickling people's ears, people who have lost sight of the simplicity of the gospel and the supremacy of Messiah Yeshua himself, and gotten their eyes on themselves and what their identity is. And he knows that, and he takes advantage of it. And so he goes into these mega churches and basically sells this false teaching, and he's got a lot of people convinced that he's a legitimate rabbi and that he knows what he's talking about, and he's leading people astray.
He is, and this whole thing is bizarre, Rabbi Glenn. It's bad theology, and it also reveals, you know, one of the serious issues that is wrong in the church today, and that's the whole issue of the prosperity teachers. You've heard me say this before, that things go with things. This whole bizarre situation with sexual allegations against Bishop Eddie Long, and then this bizarre display with alleged Rabbi Ralph Messer, they're buttressed by this prosperity teaching, which I think is so destructive. And if you can't stay within good theological boundaries, you can't, you know, it spills over. Loss of control spills over. If you can't stay within theological boundaries, you often cannot stay within financial boundaries. You cannot stay within sexual boundaries. So what I think I would like us to do today is talk about this prosperity teaching, which is part of this whole mix.
It is, and unfortunately is part of the fabric of the Metro Detroit community. And you and I, we love God's people. We're not saying these things because we take some kind of delight in bashing. It's that we care so much about the people of God, and we just, it breaks our hearts to see so many dear, beautiful Christians being led astray. And so, Rabbi Lauren, please talk to us about the gospel and its greater purposes.
The purpose of the gospel is not primarily to make us healthier or richer, but to save us to enjoy the true riches in the world to come. And so the focus of the gospel is not material prosperity, but spiritual prosperity, spiritual blessing, and then bringing the gospel of salvation to others as the Lord Yeshua and his apostles, his representatives, taught and exemplified. So, Rabbi Glenn, let's just look at some of the basic teaching of, you know, the New Testament. It's been embraced by the church, of course, for much of the past 2,000 years, but it seems to have been overlooked by those caught up in this prosperity teaching. Unfortunately, it's very popular. So, don't store up treasure on earth, but store up your treasures in heaven. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Who said that, Rabbi Glenn?
That was Messiah Yeshua himself.
Okay. How about this one? Not blessed are the rich, but blessed are the poor. Who said that, Rabbi Glenn?
Well, Messiah Yeshua, who is actually was a true rabbi, said that.
In fact, you will never read blessed are the rich in the New Testament, because the Son of God never uttered those words. When it comes to the rich, this is what the Son of God said. Woe to you who are rich, because you are receiving your comfort in full. How's that, Rabbi Glenn? Does that sound like the prosperity teaching?
Not at all. And, you know, we should clarify that money is simply a commodity. There's nothing good or bad about money in and of itself. It's our use of it. And unfortunately, it is people's pursuit of it at the expense of their conscience and of doing right that really is the problem. Abraham, for example, was a wealthy man, but he was extremely generous. And money wasn't his purpose in life. Serving God was his purpose in life.
How about this one, Rabbi Glenn? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.
I can't even imagine a camel going through the eye of a needle, which of course is the point. Pun not intended there. Sorry about that. But what happens is there's, again, money is just a thing, but we are so easily, because of this sinful nature that we war against and sometimes lose that battle, we become obsessed with money instead of focusing on the Lord and his kingdom.
How about the story of the rich man and Lazarus? The Son of God told this story. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen. You know, he dressed magnificently. He lived in luxury every day. That would be today's prosperity preacher, Rabbi Glenn. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. I mean, this guy is really in pathetic shape, Rabbi Glenn. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In Sheol, in Hades, this waiting compartment where the dead go, where the rich man was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue because I'm in agony in this fire." And here's the key verse, Rabbi Glenn. But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here and you are in agony." Rabbi Glenn, does that sound like the prosperity teaching?
You know, it really is eerily reminiscent of that. And, you know, Rabbi Lorne, it might even be worth talking about the fact that this rich man, it wasn't the fact that he was rich. It was the fact that he was stingy and selfish and didn't have any regard for the poor in his midst, exemplified by Lazarus, that was really the thing. We call that having an evil eye. In other words, no pity on those who are poor.
Yes, I mean, there are Christians who will become rich. You know, God will bless them in some way. They'll start a business. It'll be successful. And if they do become wealthy, they are supposed to be very generous with their wealth towards a hurting, suffering world around them. So it's not necessarily the fact that if someone has wealth, it's how he uses his wealth. Is he generous with his wealth? Is the love of money what he's all about?
Yeah. In fact, if you don't mind, let me just interject for just a moment that the scriptures speak about the qualifications of someone who aspires to be an overseer, an elder, you know, the pastor of a church. And one of the things we read, for example, in Titus chapter 1 is an elder must be blameless, a husband of but one wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Since an overseer is entrusted with God's work, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. And then it goes on to talk about doctrine. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine. And again, writing to Timothy, Paul wrote that the overseer must be above reproach and also not a lover of money.
Exactly. So the New Testament qualifications for a leader of a congregation is good, sound theology, good, sound teaching, not a lover of money, not pursuing dishonest gain. And Rabbi Glenn, one of the things about the prosperity teaching and the prosperity teachers is, to me, it is pursuing dishonest gain. This is a twisting of the scriptures. This is not the true teaching of the Word of God. And the one who benefits in a prosperity church is the pastor. It's not the people of the congregation. It all flows up to the top. And so it's a form of dishonest gain.
It is, because there's nothing dishonest, for example, about being a pastor. However, if you are making your salary based on tickling people's ears with what isn't true, I really agree, Rabbi Lauren, that's dishonest gain. So you can have a congregation of 50,000 people meeting in a stadium, and you're tickling their ears and not speaking the words that people really need to hear, which isn't "you're all that." It is "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Turn in faith to Jesus the Messiah." No, instead it's you're a great person, and you know God loves you and thinks you're just so wonderful, and nothing about sin, nothing about righteousness, nothing about judgment. I would have to say that's dishonest gain.
You know, sometimes this prosperity teaching is called the faith teaching, but godliness and contentment are the true ingredients for faith, not discontentment and greed. Listen to what Paul wrote to Timothy. He talked about men of depraved mind, men deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness or faith is a means of gain. But godliness, faith, actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. And then Paul goes on to say, "For we have brought nothing into the world, and so we cannot take anything out of the world either. So if we have food and covering, with these we shall be content." So, Rabbi Glenn, godliness and contentment are the ingredients of true faith, not discontentment and greed. And the prosperity teachers preach discontent and greed.
They do. In fact, just the most serious of warnings, you know, John warned us not to love the world or anything in the world. And he said, if anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. And the world and its desires are passing away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. It seems to me, Rabbi Lauren, that in a very real way, a litmus test of where a person's heart is can be found based upon the messages they speak, the messages they listen to, how they use their pocketbook, or how they withhold the use of their pocketbook. It really is, in a big way, a litmus test of a person's walk with the Lord.
It is. And when John tells us not to love the world, he's not talking about the physical world. He's not talking about this beautiful planet with its beautiful trees and plants and animals and lakes and streams and meadows and woods and clouds and skies. He's not talking about the fact that we shouldn't love our pets or family or nation. He's not talking about not loving people, because God so loved the world, meaning human beings. The world that John is referring to and doesn't want us to love is this corrupt system in which we live, with its corrupt values. And it is a system based on selfishness, on greed, on hatred, on injustice, on lies. And it won't last, Rabbi Glenn. It is, you know, it has a shelf life. It has an end point.
And John describes that thing, that whole world system, in with this threefold breakdown. Maybe you could talk to us about it. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life.
The lust of the flesh is an inappropriate desire for more and more physical pleasures. It's a life devoted to fun, to sex, to drugs, to alcohol, food, entertainments, partying, the lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes, and that's, I think, very much what the prosperity teachers encourage, is the desire for more and more material things. What your eyes see, that's what you want, that's what you deserve. Measuring success by the amount of things or money or wealth that one has. And then there's the pride of life, the desire for fame, power, position among human beings. So we have to fight against the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And one of the things that makes the prosperity teachers so dangerous and so evil is that they encourage the desire for more and more material things, the lust of the eyes, when they should be preaching the exact opposite, that we should be trying to restrain ourselves from those desires.
I'm reminded, Rabbi Lauren, of this, what I consider a horrible abuse. This church in the Metro Detroit area that purchased something like a 12 or 13,000 square foot mansion estate for their pastor, all because they believed in this whole prosperity thing, just grossly overdone, and then had the temerity to then declare it a parsonage so that the city of Northville or wherever it was didn't even get its justifiable taxes because that property was declared a parsonage. Now, to me, that is just absolute excess. Now, it may go hand in hand with their prosperity teaching, but it is so out of keeping with what the Word of God tells us how we should live, and especially those who minister the Word of God should live even more circumspectly than the rest.
Exactly. They should set an example. The prosperity teaching, Rabbi Glenn, isn't about faith, you know, the faith teaching or belief. You know, faith and belief mean loyalty, loyalty to the three-in-one God, loyalty to the Word of God. The prosperity teaching is about materialism and greed and worldliness, but it's disguised with Christian terminology, but it's not Christian.
No, it isn't. It's really just a glorified get-rich-quick scam. And, you know, these men and women are going to answer to God, not only for their own abuses and excesses, but for leading the flock astray. And we really are sheep. We really are easily led astray. And, you know, Rabbi Lauren, I wish we had more time, but we need to think about what is true prosperity, you know, and that is being in a right relationship with the living God through Jesus the Messiah. If you have a job that provides food for your family and clothes and a roof over your head to meet your needs, maybe even leaves you with something extra so that you can help others and support your congregation and other good works, you are prosperous. But prosperity, material prosperity, isn't supposed to be our objective in this life.
Rabbi Glenn, the Bible does talk about gaining material prosperity, and it's not by adopting this perverse message of the prosperity teachers. Growing in wealth comes from delaying present gratification in order to save for future benefits. You save, you invest, you work hard, you better yourself, you get a good education. And even all those things combined are no guarantee of prosperity, because Proverbs says that wealth tends to make itself wings and fly away fast, out of reach, and for a long time.
Hmm. Well, there's a lot more that you and I want to share with our Faith Talk 1500 audience. Again, not with this idea of bashing, but with the idea of appealing to our brothers and sisters. You know, come out from among them. Come to where it is just solid biblical teaching and get away from the materialism disguised as Christianity. Well, Rabbi Lauren, we also have some things we wanted to announce today and let our audience know about, including a luncheon coming up for pastors. Could you tell us about that?
Yes, Rabbi Glenn. We are inviting pastors from across the Metro Detroit area to a special lunch for pastors, and you're going to be there. I'm going to be there. David Brickner, the executive director of Jews for Jesus, which is the largest Messianic Jewish outreach ministry in the world, is going to be there. It's going to be on Tuesday, February 28th, I believe. That's right. Starting at 11:30 at the Regency Manor in Southfield. David will speak, I'll speak, you'll be there to meet people and talk. And lunch is actually free, Rabbi Glenn, for pastors. And so we want to encourage pastors to come and meet us and find out what's really happening in the world of Jewish ministry and Jewish outreach, and what are the issues of concern that Christians need to be aware of.
Yeah, so again, if you'd like to learn more about this, give us a call at 248-593-5150 or go to shema.com, S-H-E-M-A.com. Get in touch with us, and we'd be happy happy to sign your pastor up, maybe your associate pastor as well, or somebody in your church that really feels strongly about reaching the Jewish people. Also, we just want to mention that Rabbi Lauren is going to be interviewing Irving Salzman tomorrow on Jesus Made Me Kosher. Irving came from not just an Orthodox, but a really, really Orthodox Jewish background. So, folks, be sure to tune in tomorrow. So, on behalf of Rabbi Lauren and myself and everybody at Congregation Shema Yisrael, we thank you so much for tuning in. Join us again tomorrow, and shalom, shalom.
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can join us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.
What's the word?